Shalom, brethren, in Jesus Christ. Today is Friday, the 26th of January, 2024, on the Roman Gregorian calendar as per Daniel 7:25 and on the Hebrew calendar. Today is Shevat 16, the day after Tu B'Shevat, also known as Rosh Hashanah, La'ilanot, the birthday of the trees, or the new year of the trees. And we are looking at fruit bearing. We are talking about trees and fruit bearing. This is a season to talk about and review what our spiritual fruit look like, what our physical root like, what do fruits look like, spiritual and physical fruits look like. This is Sister Perpetua Mirembe or Shulamit George. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, my calling is prophet. And this has been manifest from a young age till death. Hallelujah. So I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the previous audio. I also read Galatians 5:19 to 22 as I was, you know, rounding up the audio. But I had to make sure I don't reach the, you know, cross the certain time limit, which is 25 minutes. Otherwise, I will not be able to share these audios on WhatsApp for those who are not able to download them from the website that I'm going to upload them to. And then 2 Timothy 3 continues, and this 2 Timothy is very much linked to Matthew 24 that talks about as in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. Noah's name means comfort. It also means rest. So as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. Hallelujah. And we are already in those days that are leading up to the great flood. The great flood represents the great, dreadful, and terrible day of the Lord. So this is the time to build and enter into the ark of God's salvation, Yahushua, before it is too late. It's the time to beckon as many people as possible to enter the ark of salvation. This time round, it's not just for 8 people, but it's for all those who are willing to be saved, to be Yahushua'd from the great and dreadful and terrible day of the Lord that is coming ahead of us. Hallelujah. So Matthew 24:37-39 says, but as in the days of Noah were, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man, of the son of Yah, not man, be, because he's not born of, I mean, he may have come through a woman at some point, but he is originally the son of Yah. The Lord hates the fact that the word says son of man, and is telling us to refrain from saying son of man and rather say son of Yah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When Yahushua or Jesus was in the his earthly mother's womb, he was the Word of God and the light of the world. And in fact, he entered as the Word of God. He entered supernaturally through speaking the word. Through speaking the word of God into Maryam's womb. So he entered as the word of God, and he was born 9 months later. So he entered the word of God around the December time of year, the time when it is the darkest time of year. And that's why we celebrate the Feast of Dedication, Feast of Lights, around that time of year. That's how the Lord scheduled things. It's nothing to do with us, really. That is just how the Lord scheduled things. And then 9 months later, around September time of year, around September. Yeah, September, because he was born on September the 9th on the Roman Gregorian calendar. He was born on September the 9th, and according to Sister or Prophet Carrion, whom the Lord revealed it to, he was born, according to Roman calendar, he was born in 20 or 21 AD. But on the Hebrew calendar, he was born in the year 5500. Hallelujah. I know that can be confusing for some, because according to the Hebrew calendar now, it says 5783. But that year is not right, or 84 now, because we're in 2024. But what we need to understand is the Romans cut out some years for the Jewish people because of, you know, the fact that they rejected the Messiah. So to confuse them further and for future prophecy to manifest, the one of the anti-Messiah coming to deceive them, some years, which is the years Jesus Christ was on earth during his first coming, were cut out of the Hebrew calendar in order to deceive them, unfortunately. We are not in the year 5784. We are way beyond that. We are already in beyond the year 6000 and close to the year 7000. The Lord is just slowing time down because the millennial Sabbath reign of Jesus Christ or Yahushua HaMashiach cannot start until all the prophecies for this world, evil world of Esau, have come into manifestation. Hallelujah. So yes, on the Roman Gregorian calendar, Jesus Christ was born on September the 9th because he is the ninth king. Hallelujah. He is the ninth king to rule this world. Obama is the sixth and eighth king. And there are other kings before him, one of them being Hitler. There is Napoleon. There is Nimrod. There is Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth and various others. You know, there's several evil kings that have ruled the earth, but there are those, the God classes, that's the great ones. I think Nebuchadnezzar is one of them as well. So anyhow, on the Hebrew calendar, Jesus Christ, or Yahushua HaMashiach, for those who don't know, was born on Tishri 15, the first day of the festival of Sukkot, or tabernacles. God Emmanuel, he came to tabernacle with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the time we're supposed to live in temporary dwellings for 8 days, or, you know, just 7 days actually, but you can say stay 8 days as a one of the laws, commandments he has given us in terms of celebrating the law. We live in shelters with grass thatched roofs as a form of trusting that only he can take care of us. We pray, we read the Bible, we worship, we eat, we invite people to even worship with us and, you know, teach them about the Lord during that season. It's a beautiful season, a season of great joy. Hallelujah. I've diverted. I'm not sure what I was even talking about that led me to start talking about the birthday of the Messiah. But I just thought that for those who don't know, and I don't know when they will hear about it, it's important to know the truth now so that people can stop celebrating Christmas. As many people as possible can stop celebrating Christmas, for Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, the one that walked the earth mostly in Israel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Was born as an Israelite into this world. So I was saying earlier on that he was born as the light of the world and put on the flesh. So the flesh was more like a garment. Nevertheless, it says he was fully God and fully mankind. I said I don't use the word human because we are not monsters and we are not a mixture of demons and mankind. So we're not homo sapiens, we're not a species of mankind, we're not a species of the animal kingdom, and we've never evolved from apes. Yes, we look like apes to a certain extent because of the idolatry or worship of other gods that has come into the world, but we are not homo sapiens, we are not part of the animal kingdom. We are mankind made in God's image and worth a lot of respect. even though at some point the angels told God, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Psalm 8. Hallelujah. So this is me talking about the days of Noah in relation to fruit bearing and the roots of our lives, the roots of our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, when we're talking about Tubishvat, we talk about trees. Another thing to talk about is the foundations of our lives. Because if our foundations are not okay, we are building on faulty foundations, and whatever we are building is going to crack, is going to crumble one day. If the structure of a building is not strong enough to hold the building, then that building is going to come down in the future. And that's why there's a children's song that's from the book of the Matthew that says, "Don't build your house on the sandy lands. Don't build it too near the shore where the..." Oh, God, it's so fast at that point, so I don't even know how to say it. But it talks about the flood, the rains, when they come. If you are near the sandy land, it's going to wash your house away and make it look like you never even built anything there. But if you build your house, you better build your house on the rock. You better, na na na, on the stony rock, where the storms may come and go, and the peace of God you will have. You better build your house on the rock. You better, na na na, on the stony rock, where storms may come and go, and the peace of God you will know. Amen. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I've forgotten the words now. But we know that scripture that talks about we should be mindful of where we build our house. So this includes where we build our physical house, where we build our spiritual house. If the foundations, Psalm 11:3, if the foundations of the right, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hallelujah. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So if we don't build in the right place, if we don't build in the right place, then we are going to be affected by, we are going to be affected by whatever comes against the home or the building. And also, we are not going to be able to bear the right fruit. We're not going to be able to sustain the good fruit that we bear for the Lord. Hallelujah. We bear good fruit through going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, and turning lives to Jesus Christ, or getting people to give their lives to Jesus Christ, to accept the God's salvation, and thereafter nurture them in the Lord. And make sure that they make it to heaven by God's grace. We also bear good fruit through our manner of speech. The book of Colossians tells us that our speech should be seasoned with salt. Meaning we should always know the right thing to say as and when. And that's why we need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High regularly, so we can have the right answer. If we know we are angry, we are tired, we shouldn't be talking to anybody about the things of God. If somebody is giving answers that make you upset and just make you want to have a go at them, it's better to walk away, go come down somewhere and ask the Lord to have his way in your heart, help you calm down before you can respond. Because God hates it when we answer people in anger. If we don't train ourselves to do that, if you are called to be a martyr, one of the people who's going to live this life through martyrdom, then you are going to end up making mistakes. Because the Lord has said you are not supposed to be angry with the people who are going to cut off your neck, or who are going to crucify you, or who are going to give you to the lions to eat, or who are going to, I don't know, whatever thing they have planned, torture chambers of all kinds, or you know, cut off your skin, or put you in a frying pan, put you in an oil, whatever they have in mind that they are going to use to torture those who are going to be martyred, like in the days of old during the world. This is coming after the Holy Revival that is Uganda is spearheading. Because seal number 5 of Revelation talks about martyrdom. So whatever we are seeing now as martyrdom is nothing compared to what is coming after the Holy Revival. Rima Shikayanda. After the Holy Revival spreads worldwide, that Holy Revival is going to attract a lot of anger from the enemy. So the enemy is going to start killing so many people, even long before we go into the time when Obama, the anti-Messiah, is ruling the world, and is butchering people like no man's business for whatever reason. So we need to build up our faith in the Lord so that we can be able to overcome much. I think I've forgotten what I was even saying now. Build our houses on a firm, on Jesus Christ, the rock, our spiritual houses, our physical houses, so that whatever good fruit we bear is sustained. Also, do not answer people in anger. Do not talk to those who are who are torturing you as a martyr. You know, those who are making you a martyr. Do not get angry with them. Know that they are vessels of the devil. If you get angry with them, you're going to give the wrong answers if you're given the opportunity to speak. The Lord says, look at Stephen. He allowed the Holy Spirit to speak. He calmed himself down and he let the Holy Spirit take over. And everything he spoke was Holy Spirit filled. But if you allow yourself to be angry, you're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister through you. This is why we need to learn to calm down. We need to learn to be gentle with our responses when talking to people in terms of preaching the word of God. Obviously, there are times when it is necessary to be harsh or to be hard on people for whatever reason, but let's not do it in the flesh. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we also get worn out quickly. We become worn out quickly as we are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we bear good fruit through the ministering of the word of God and, you know, through our speech, our characters, for out of the hearts flows the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is what the word of God says. This is why we need to work on our hearts. We need to work on the foundations of our lives. We are all born into foundations that are filled with demons, filled with all kinds of rubbish. Many of us come from homes that have, you know, different kinds of characters or personalities. We need to get rid of those evil personalities, those evil characteristics of our, you know, where we were born, and then get the one that is of Jesus. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, our goal is to be like Jesus. The last time I was talking about this, I wanted to give this example of a sister called Janet. Janet, she's Ugandan. She died in Scotland in the UK in 2019. She died in June and she was buried in July on the 4th. Lindorabakashetara. This lady, by the time she died, she was looking like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. She's somebody that had worldliness within her too much, even though she loved the Lord. And the Lord decided that he wanted to take her in 2019. He let her know. He sent a message to her soul, Nefesh, letting her know that he's taking her the following year. So she started to put measures in place without telling anybody what was coming. She started to put measures in place for her death. And her death would come through sickness. The sickness was cancer. You see, as I said and I keep saying, women, we have too much evil baggage that we need to get rid of in order to make heaven. Janet had evil baggage. The only way for the Lord to strip out that baggage was to get her to have cancer. She developed cancer and she became unwell for many months. This was so painful for her. She really struggled. She went through all kinds of treatment, but the cancer wasn't getting better. The cancer wasn't getting better. And she knew she was going. So she used that opportunity to put her life in order. You know, she stopped using the fake hair. She stopped using high heels. She stopped using trousers. She stopped using makeup. She started to get rid of so many things that she had been gotten used to. And I believe one of the reasons God did that is because of the covenant that her mother had with God, that none of her children should perish to hellfire. So one day Janet stood before the mirror, like 1 or 2 days before she died. And when she did, she saw Jesus Christ on the other end of the mirror. And she was amazed. As she was dying, she used to speak mysteries. She would just say things and everyone around her would be wondering, what's going on here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is an example of the fact that we need to give our lives. We need to, have a desire to be transformed. Another lady that God did this to is Apostle John Molinde's wife. The wife he first married. She was a prophet. I've forgotten her name. As she was getting nearer to her time of death, on this earth, the Lord started to, he didn't tell her he's taking her yet, but he started to tell her, I want you to stop wearing this. I want you to stop using that. I want you to stop using that. I want you to start doing this. You know, the Lord started telling her to take off the abomination items. And she lacked the understanding of why. She didn't understand. But as time went on, it began to make sense. Women have a lot of work to do on themselves if they want to make heaven. You see, we have the inner beauty to work on. We are not beautiful when we are born. When we are initially born spiritually, we still have God's beauty because we've just arrived. But as time goes on, this world begins to rub onto us and we begin to, you know, look ugly spiritually, and then we need God to come and transform our lives. Remember that when Adam ate of the fruit of disobedience, he died that day. What do you think he looked like? So women need to stop focusing on the outer beauty and focus on the inner beauty, and the same goes for the men. What I mean by stop focusing on the outer beauty, as in stop worrying about what your skin looks like all the time and trying to get beauty creams of all kinds to make yourself look better. You know, try to keep things simple for yourself. There's no time to spend, too much time to spend in the mirror trying to put on makeup, trying to do facial, all kinds of facial treatments. There's no time for all that. Every now and again you could do it, but if it's something you have to do on a daily basis, then something is not right somewhere. The women in the Old Testament, they gave up their mirrors to build the tabernacle of Moses for a reason. And I have a plan to teach about that in the future. It doesn't mean we have to give up the mirrors. It just means that there's no time to be in the mirror. In fact, I don't know the last time I looked in the mirror, but when I was dressing, I don't look in the mirror anymore because there's no need for me to do so. And I want to focus on my inner beauty because that is the real me. The real me is the inside person, the inner man. Hallelujah. But this goes for men as well. It's not just the women that have so much work to do. The men also have work to do on themselves. And we have a duty to bear many good fruit. But the foundation on which we build our lives matters so much. The spiritual foundation can affect us ahead of time. So we need to work on that. Okay, I'm gonna bring this audio to an end and then do, I think, one more audio. There's so much to discuss, but I'm just gonna have to cut everything short and maybe teach another time when I have the opportunity. Shalom.